obnoxious squeaking is all my fault. I keep stepping in front of the speaker with my microphone on, so don't blame the sound crew. God bless you all, and welcome to Valley Brook, and welcome to Valley Brook. Good to see you all. It's good to have you here with us this morning. And it is a blessed morning, and we are going to continue our series today on the human experience. And I must tell you, I'm very excited about what the Lord has shared with me and what I am going to share with you. It is a blessing. But note takers, a word of caution, a word of warning, note takers, beware. Because you know I generally like to organize my message and my presentations with a title, a main idea, and then very defined points. But today's going to be a little bit different, because the best I may be able to do for you today is give you a title and the text, because I have something to say, and I don't want the format to get in the way. So you're going to have to do your best. And so today's message is titled, Yes, Jesus Loves Me. Yes, Jesus loves me, comma. In all my humanness, yes, Jesus loves me, comma, in all my humanness. And in my notes, I have all in all caps. Yes, Jesus loves me in all my humanness. Our text is from the book of James. We're going to look at chapter 5. We're going to read verses 17 through 18. James chapter 5. Verses 17 through 18. Marlo, could you turn me down just a bit? I'm a little bit hot up here. Thank you. James chapter 5, thank you. Verses 17 through 18. And the word of the Lord says, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Amen. Elijah the Tishbite was arguably the most prominent prophet in Israel's history. And you can read his story in the book of 1 Kings, starting in chapter 17, all the way through 2 Kings chapter 2. It's a wonderful read. It is an amazing story of God at work. Some of the things you'll find if you were to read Elijah's story, the miracles that God performed through him. He called fire from heaven. He parted the waters of the Jordan just by tapping it with his cloak. He confronted Ahab, who had fallen into idolatry, the king of Israel. And as the text that we read says, he prophesied as a judgment from God that it wouldn't rain for 3 or more years. And sure enough, that's what happened. With Elijah, God miraculously provided food that was delivered by ravens. He raised a widow's son from the dead. And talk about dramatic, he didn't leave this earth like the rest of us will. Not Elijah. He was whisked away into heaven with flaming chariots and horses. No pallbearers for him, no funeral for him. He was just whisked away, separated from his protege, Elijah, and taken into heaven on literally a flaming chariot, befitting in some ways the life he had lived, because his life was anything but ordinary. It was amazing. He even showed up in the New Testament. He appeared at the transfiguration of Jesus Christ along with Moses. So Elijah was an amazing study. But here's the thing. It's not the miracles that I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about something that is even more fascinating than the miracles. I want to talk to you about something that is much more exciting than the miracles themselves. What I want to talk about is the fact that Elijah was a man. More broadly, he was a human being. You see, James's point that we read here in chapter 5, James's point is not, wow, look at the miracles, look at what Elijah did. James's point is, wow, look at what God can do with a man. Wow, look at what God can do with a regular old human being just like you and me. That's the exciting part. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. It says, like, Elijah was just like us. He had the same physical, mental, and spiritual limitations and shortcomings. Thank you, Amplified Version, by highlighting what it means when it says he was a man just like us. He was a human being just like us. Elijah, for all of his flamboyance and his godliness, he was a godly man. But for all of his flamboyance and all of the awe that revolved around his life, he was a flawed person. And he was fearful, just like us. What I'm talking about here is your issues, your frailties, your fears, your resistance, your habits, and yes, even your unbelief. In other words, your particular brand of human frailty. Brother John, your particular brand of human frailty. Sister Keisha, your particular brand of frailty. Sister Grace and the rest of y'all. Your particular brand of human frailty is nothing that God hasn't seen before. Amen. You may think you're all that unique. Amen. And you are, as far as how he treats you, how he sees you. There's only one of a kind. But what you're dealing with, that human stuff, he's seen it before. He's seen it before. Elijah was a human being. He put his pants on one leg at a time, as they say, just like the rest of us. Only he was so flamboyant, they didn't have pants at that time. So he wore a hair garment, and it didn't even say what kind of hair. With John the Baptist, he wore a camel hair with a leather girdle around it. Elijah, it doesn't even tell you what kind of hair it was. It just says he wore hair with a garment around, with a leather sash or a leather belt around it. Just hair. He was something else. But he was subject to all the issues that we face. Temptations of the flesh, the deception of the evil one, the pressures of the world. He was a man. He was a human being just like us. See, the miracle is never greater than the miracle maker. The miracle is never greater than the miracle maker. Some people can make magic on an instrument, but the instrument does not make the musician. Some people can paint and draw. I always wish that I could cartoon. I can't cartoon worth a bit. All I can do is draw stick figures, and they are shaky. But I always wanted to be a cartoonist. But the paintbrush doesn't create the artist. The equipment does not create the athlete. And so the miracles, the awesome things that were coming out of Elijah were coming through an ordinary man by the supernatural power of the living God. Amen. He was a man just like us. He was a human being just like us. You know, there are certain people that we think were clearly qualified for partnership with God because of their pristine behavior. If not perfect, very pristine. Like Daniel, for example. In Daniel chapter 6, you'll read these words. It says that regarding his work, that the administrators and the satraps that were trying to trap Daniel because they were jealous of him, it says they were looking for some reason to accuse him, but it says that they could not find any negligence or corruption in his work. Man, Daniel for president. But they couldn't find anything that was wrong with his conduct in the work that he was performing. But that, even though that's impressive, that doesn't mean that Daniel was perfect. It just means that he did his job in an excellent way. He had a dark side. He had flaws. And for whatever reason, God simply did not choose to illustrate those in the story of Daniel. But Daniel was a man, just like Elijah. And Elijah was just like us. The angel Gabriel greeted a young Mary, the future mother of the Lord Jesus. And he gave her this mind-blowing salutation. He said, "Hail, favored one. The Lord is with you." And it said that Mary was troubled by the greeting. Now, I'm sure that the troubling part came to be, number part of it was, well, you know, you don't have an angel talking to you every day. So just the mere appearance of an angel was troubling. But I also believe that some of the troubling nature of what the angel said had to do with Mary's own assessment of herself. Who are you talking to? I'm just this young maiden, and you're calling me the favored one? And what is this? You got the right person? Are you sure? And Mary, despite what some religions may teach, was not sinless. She was a flawed human being. She was a human being just like Daniel, and Daniel was just like Elijah, and Elijah was just like us. And Mary was troubled by the greeting because she realized that. You see, Jesus was and is the only sinless one. Jesus himself was and is the only sinless one, which means that if God is using anybody, he's using a flawed somebody. If he's using any human being, he is using someone who is like Elijah, a man just like us. What are we? You know what we are? We are all just a walking, talking, breathing bundle of contradictions. Every one of us is a walking, talking, breathing bundle of contradictions. Yes, Jesus loves me in all my messiness. Because, Lord, you know what? I'm a walking, talking, breathing bundle of contradictions. There are times when we shine. And we are filled with joy at the choices that we made, at the actions that we took, at the lives that we touched in a positive way, at the things that we resisted and did not give into. And we feel like we're shining. There are those times. Thank God for them. And then there are other times when the worst of us gets the best of us. And we cannot stand ourselves. The one thing that we can assume about every Bible character, even in the Hebrews Hall of Faith, in Hebrews chapter 13, every human being in the Bible or out of the Bible is a flawed human being. Now, let me say this. I don't share this to lower the bar. I don't share this to say, well, everybody else is messed up. Don't do better. That's not what I'm saying. I don't share this for us to glory in our common sinfulness or for us to excuse bad behavior. We want to live higher, aspire to live higher. I don't say it to excuse us to behave in ways that are destructive to others and harmful to ourselves. I say it for us to recognize our common need for the grace of God. Our common need for the grace of God and for all of us to glory in Christ Jesus, as Paul said. I say it not to minimize the effects or the deleterious effects of choices that we make that are not consistent with God's word. I say it to amplify the grace of God. I say it to put the grace of God on a loudspeaker and make it known to all of us that anything that is happening in this world that is of God is from God. Anything that is happening in this world that is of God is from God and not from us. Because Elijah was a man just like us. And we know what we're like. Every single day, I need Jesus as much as anybody else on this planet. Every single day the Lord sends. I need Jesus, and I am not exaggerating when I say it. I, in my heart, know that I need Jesus every single day as much as anybody else on this planet. I don't care what they've done. I don't care what I haven't done. I know every single day that I open my eyes and God grants me breath, I need Jesus today as much as anybody else on this planet. I like what 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18 says. It says that we're new creatures. Hallelujah. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. But thank God I'm not what I was. Remember that song? I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I want to be. But thank God I'm not what I was. Something like that. Says, I'm a new creature. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a new creature. Amen. That's who I am. Doesn't say I'm always acting like a new creature. But the fact of the matter is, I am a new creature. But this is what it says after that famous verse in verse 17 where it says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The next verse is equally as important. It says this, and all these things, these new things, they're from God. All these new things, they're from God. The newness of life is from Him. It comes from Him living inside of me. It comes from Him living through me. The new creature that I am, as the song Blessed Assurance says, is born of His Spirit. It's sustained by His Spirit. It's motivated and move forward by His Spirit. It's Him in me. He's the miracle maker. I'm just the miracle. Amen. You're just the miracle. He's the miracle maker. And He's continuing to do miracles inside of you and through you, just as He did with Elijah. Elijah was a human being just like us. The glory was the Lord's. The glory is the Lord's. The power is the Lord's. The majesty is the Lord's. The awesomeness is the Lord's. So there's no room for boasting. No room for boasting. No room for boasting. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you walk around boasting as though you didn't? What do you have? Oh, I love that question. Puts a smile on my face because all I can do is nothing. Nothing. Not even the breath that I take. Not even the steps that I take each day. Not even my eyes opening in the morning. Amen. Did I give myself. Amen. I'm receiving that. Amen. I'm just a man. I'm just a human being. And God has given me life and breath and everything else. So, there's no room for boasting. But you know what? There's another glorious side of that coin. On the one hand, there's no room for boasting. But the other side of the coin is this. Because it all comes from God, neither is there any reason for despair. You see, just like I can't walk around saying I'm just the great somebody because everything I have I've received from God. Nor can I walk around saying I'm just the old nobody because God is the one who's doing the work in me. It's God at work in me, not me at work in me. So just as there's no reason for me to be walking around boasting because I think I got it together, there's no reason for me to walk around in despair because I think I don't got it together. Because it's not about me one way or the other. You hear what I'm saying? It's not about me one way or the other. I can't walk around boasting, but nor should I be walking around feeling like I'm worthless. Nor should I be walking around feeling like something is beyond me. That whatever habits are dogging me or whatever things that I would like to be beyond where I am, I can't do it. You know, you're right. You can't do it. You know why? Because you're like Elijah. And Elijah was just a man, just like us. And so God has not given us the potential to create miracles. He's the miracle maker. We are just the miracles. You have just as much reason to hope in God as anybody else in the scriptures or anybody else in the world today. I want to say that again, and I want you to listen to it. And if you don't believe me, let's have lunch. When this COVID thing is over, or you can just send it to me and I'll eat it and we can talk on Zoom. You have just as much reason to hope in God as anybody else in the scriptures or in the world today. Why? Because the work and the power and the miracles are from Him, just as they were through Elijah. There's an old movie, I Saw What You Did and I Know Who You Are. Remember that old movie? Those of you who are around my age or a little bit younger, you know what it was, about these teenagers playing a prank on the phone. They call people up and say, I know who you are and I saw what you did. And the person, obviously, you know, the point of the joke or the point of the prank is that the person has something to hide and gets scared just by you saying, I saw what you did and I know who you are. They get in a lot of trouble and they almost wind up getting killed because they called the wrong person and he tracked them down. But when I think about that old movie, that's what God can say about all of us. I know, I saw what you did, and I know who you are. And yet, Hebrews 2:11 tells us this about us in Christ. Hebrews 2:11 says, He is not ashamed to call us His brothers. His brethren, I saw what you did, I know who you are, and I'm not ashamed of you. I'm not ashamed to call you my brother, my sister. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 12 tells us this. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 12. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Amen. We are hard-pressed on every side. I really like this. We are hard-pressed on every side. That's our humanness. Okay? We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. That's God. Amen. You see, we're hard-pressed. That's human, but not crushed. That's God. Amen. We're perplexed. That's again, that's our humanness, but not in despair. That's God. That's right. We're persecuted. That's very human, but not abandoned. That's God. Mm. Struck down. That's very human, but not destroyed. That's God. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus, that's God, the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our bodies. What is he talking about? He's talking about all the human stuff that we're walking around with, all the human challenges, the decisions that we make that aren't the best decisions, everything that's human, everything that Jesus had to die for. We're new creatures, but we still got to deal with it in this life. We always walk around carrying with us, dealing with the death of Jesus, the stuff that Jesus had to die for, the stuff that Jesus took away. But we also carry within us the life of Jesus. And that's revealed in our bodies, even though we're dealing with the human stuff, the death of Jesus. You know, the other day I was thanking the Lord for just thanking him. Just thanking him. Thank you, Lord, for just always welcoming me. No matter what condition I show up in.
Amen. Amen.
You know, sometimes you think you're ready to sit with Jesus. And other days, you ain't ready to sit with nobody. You are just out of sorts. Amen. You don't have that fire. You don't have that desire. You can't even focus. Amen. And I thank you, Jesus, for welcoming me. No matter what condition I show up in. Just yesterday evening, I took a walk, a second walk. It was such a beautiful evening. I took a second walk and my grandson was riding his bike, and he saw me coming, and he jumped off of the bike and left the bike right there on the sidewalk and just came running towards me. And I was just thinking about that. You know how you feel when a child, your child, when they're young? I'm just kidding, kids. We love you all the time. But there's something especially endearing about a child when he comes running towards you. It's your child or your grandchild or a niece or a nephew or even just a friend, even a strange kid, a stranger kid. You're at the zoo and a little kid runs up and hugs your leg or something, you know. There's something very endearing about that. And you welcome that. And I was just thinking, and the phrase that came to mind as I thought about that was one from Matthew 7:11, where Jesus said, "If you then, being evil."
Amen.
I just thought, wow. If you then, being evil, with your human limitations, if you can be captured by joy in such things, how much more so your Heavenly Father? Thank you, Jesus. See, the reason that we are instructed to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice is because that's what the Lord does with us. He weeps with us. He rejoices with us. In our human experience, he isn't a passive observer. He's emotionally invested. He's emotionally connected with our human experience. In the Old Testament, it says of the Israelites, as they endured the judgments of God because they were rebellious, because they were idolatrous, because they were unbelieving, and God would judge them with this particular disease, or this enemy would come upon them, or something would happen. And it says so beautifully, it says, in all their distress, he too was distressed. So he went through it with them, even though he was the one executing the judgment. He chose to put himself emotionally in a connected place with them. In all their distress, he was distressed. Paul said to the Corinthians, "Who is weak? And I do not feel weak. And who is led into sin without my intense concern?" See, as we become more like Christ, we begin to reflect the affection of Christ Jesus. We begin to sense how he feels about us and about others. He isn't a passive observer. He's emotionally connected with us. And then, of course, we've got Hebrews 4:14-16, which is the classic passage about the Lord's sympathy, about the Lord's empathy, about the way he sees us as humans, gives us the most astonishing picture and promises of Jesus' reaction to our weaknesses. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we. I know what it's like to be human, y'all, Jesus is saying. I know what it's like to be human. I've been tempted in all things as you, yet without sin. He sympathizes. He offers us grace, it says, grace and mercy to help us in time of need. Thank you, Jesus. So what is the summary of all I'm saying this morning? If last week's message was trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding, today's message would be trust in the Lord in all your humanness and don't rely on your own inventory. Don't rely upon it. Don't be discouraged by it. Don't evaluate what is possible by looking at what you think you can do. Don't evaluate what is possible by looking at your own limitations. Don't evaluate what is possible by listening to what other people say about you. Because you know what you can say? Elijah was a man just like me. Yeah, I'm a man. Yeah, I'm a woman. Yeah, I've got shortcomings. Yeah, I've got limitations. Yeah, I've got blind spots. Yeah, I've got stubborn stains that won't come out. Yeah, I got all of that. But it's not dependent upon that. I am just the miracle. There's a miracle worker at work. And he is not done doing what he does. Amen. In me and through me. Amen. So when you read the story of Elijah, if you dare to go and look at 1 Kings 17 and read his story through 2 Kings chapter 2, if you dare to do that this week in your own personal time of meditation, don't look at Elijah. Say, my. Look at what God can do with an ordinary human being. Hey, I can do that. I may not be able to do a lot of stuff, but I can be human. I can be human. And if I'm human, I qualify.
Amen.
If I'm human, I qualify. Yeah. See, God didn't even need to use humans, though. You know the story. If he can speak through a donkey. You know, we're a little bit higher on the food chain than a donkey. I just bless God. I just bless God. And I'm done saying what I had to say, but I'm not done talking. And I just want to say just a little bit more. I praise God. And now I'm done.
Amen.
So we're going to say our benediction. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Let's say our benediction. Father, we thank you. Oh, we thank you that we are who we are by your grace.
Amen.
Lord, we know that we are but dust. You know that we are but dust. Lord, we don't claim great things for ourselves. We claim a great God.
Amen.
We do not claim exceptional virtue. We just trust in you, Lord.
Amen.
We look to you for your power. We look to you for your grace. We look to you for your love. We look to you to receive what we cannot give ourselves. We recognize that it is the miracle maker that is responsible for any miracles in our lives. And we give you all the glory. And I pray that not one of my brothers and sisters listening today would look in the mirror and see themselves without seeing you.
Amen.
They would not fixate or focus on all that they wish wasn't in place. And that they recognize that there is a God. There is a God dwelling inside of them by the Holy Spirit, who is all powerful, who knows who they are, knows what they've done, and knows what he wants to do with them.
Amen.
So we bless you and we thank you. And now may the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with each of us now and forever. Let us all say amen.
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 Amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday. Communion Sunday next Sunday. So we hope to see you then.
Thank you.